Why has it been going down on your grandma?
I thought Layla died.
Yeah, Rose. But my name is Kozlov.
Woo!
Willow!
You know you were CM Punk.
He's literally driving us mad.
And now, from England.
To the Wrestling Pundit Podcast.
Hello everyone, we've got a packed house on today's Wrestling Pundit Podcast. You may have been expecting the Supla this week, but I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
That is your new favorite meme, isn't it?
It's great. I'm afraid I've got some bad news!
And also bad shoes.
And bad Jews and bad pews.
Bad pews, that was the best.
I thought he said something else. Just continue.
Well, actually, it's not even bad news, really, but the Supla is going live once again, so we're holding it off until a more convenient week. So yay!
Yeah!
Fucking live!
It seems at this point the Pundit Podcast and the Supla will be switching their alternating weeks. So you're getting two pundits in a row and the Supla next week, and then it'll go from there.
Oh yeah, don't know why I'm here.
Yeah, but let's introduce everybody. Hello, I'm Keelan Balderson, and I'm the editor of WrestlingPundit.com. And today, I'm joined by Sam Brooks.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Andy Kwan.
Hello. I'm used to doing intros, dammit. This is weird. I don't like this.
Tough. And Carmine Antonelli.
Saving the best for last, maybe, sort of. How's it going?
How is everybody doing?
Well, I know I'm doing better than Andy sounds to be doing.
Agreed. I am so hungover.
You're always hungover.
Sound distracted.
I'm not distracted. I'm just...
Eat, sleep, yes, drink, repeat.
You're not being a lemon, are you? Be a quanbud.
I'm being a rosebud!
That sounded so enthusiastic.
Anyway, I have no idea what we're talking about, but let's get us some news. Good news, not bad news. Well, no, this is bad news, actually.
I'm afraid you fucked up. Don't know. I'm really hungover. I'm not funny today. I'm just going to stop talking about our website.
There's got to be a bad news pun in there somewhere for this headline.
WWE share price has plummeted nearly 50%. Which means Vince McMahon is no longer a billionaire, and WWE is basically worth half of what it was a couple of weeks ago.
Jeez.
Christ.
What happened?
Fuck.
The end of the world.
Basically, in a nutshell, investors were not happy that the company renewed their TV deals with NBC Universal, which is USA Network for Raw, and Sci-Fi for SmackDown. And basically the issue is WWE made out that they were going to be this hot commodity. There was going to be a bidding war for their programming because everybody wants it. They were going to double the price that they get paid for, you know, giving out these TV rights. But there was no bidding war. There was no doubling of the price. Mm. And basically, it only went up by half, so the investors are like, oh, fuck, thanks for that. And it's plummeted.
I can see why they're upset by that. But holy shit, did Vince get hit hard with this. I don't know shit about business talk, but I can tell you one thing. That is a lot of money gone.
And you can probably expect a clearance sale on the certified billionaire t-shirts that he made.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Forbes interview is just useless now, because... It's not even true anymore.
Just put it in a time capsule.
The worst part of this is that, there was some investment company that bought, I don't know how much stock in WWE. And they were like, well, Vince needs to step down, everyone needs to just go away. And it's just like, No, that's never going to happen. As long as Vince owns like 80% of the stock or whatever the fuck it is, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, there are a lot of shareholders and investment groups and even law firms are trying to get an investigation into the company to see if they committed securities fraud, because the way they were hyping up the TV deal, it's almost as like they were lying. And you're not allowed to kind of lie about facts and figures when you're a public company, because that artificially inflates the stock price and lots of people's portfolios get fucked over if you're lying. So that's the kind of thing you're not allowed to do. And the interesting thing is, before this TV deal went ahead and this big collapse happened, Stephanie McMahon was selling shitloads of her shares. So did she know something was coming? And that's like insider trading. So,
And I know that's not good.
None of this is good.
No, this is definitely bad news.
What does this mean for the company as a whole now, then?
I think it'll blow over in the end. But obviously, negative publicity and your stock price falling is never a good thing. You see, they're not going to, like, Vince McMahon is not going to step down. They're not going to get a new board of directors or whatever. Basically, it just means WWE are going to have a bit less money to carry on with what they're doing. It's not the end, but it's just very, very, very bad PR in a business sense.
None of us know anything about this except Keelan, so we're just going to, you know, let you do your thing.
Oh, Keelan, you great oracle of business, tell us more.
Teach us.
We're not worthy. Basically, it's bad news, but nothing's going to happen. It's just a lot of hot air. People are just pissed, and, you know, they're writing press releases. Oh, you know, Vince leave and all this shit, but that's not going to happen. He's not obliged to do anything anyone tells him because he owns most of the shares anyway. And, it's just going to blow over. But if we move on, speaking of more shitty TV deals, TNA, everybody, TNA. Andy's hangover just got better.
No, you made it so much worse.
They've basically decided to copy WWE's business model slightly, and they've rebranded Explosion as a family-friendly PG Saturday morning show in the UK.
Stop copying WWE, for fuck's sake. I'm sick of saying that fucking sentence. It actually pisses me off. I have to say this every fucking week. Stop copying them. You will never be like them. Just stop. Just stop. Just go away. Stop.
It's getting really ridiculous at this point. Like, even a thing that has already failed before you did it, Saturday Morning Slam has already failed, and you're copying it. Why?
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, I'm not sure it would be necessarily like a kid show. I'm not sure it's going to be like D is for Dixie, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
D is for crap, which is this show.
So basically,
not this
Stephanie
show,
Street.
Like the pundit, because I'm on the Supla. I mean, TNA. Fuck it, I bought the joke.
There's no actual wrestlers. It's just a bunch of Muppets shaped like Gunner and James
Bobby
Storm.
Roode is Big Bird.
Yeah, they're called the Menagerie. It's their new top state.
No, that's the wrong thing.
We're off the rails already and we're like 10 minutes in.
Oh, God. But what could they possibly gain from a PG show in TNA?
Literally nothing. I can't think of any advantages to this whatsoever.
Has anyone ever even seen an episode of the first run of Explosion?
Yeah, I didn't even know it existed.
I think what they're going for is, because in England, Saturday morning, if I remember rightly, and might still be, it was always SmackDown, and for the kids, it was actually a pretty good time slot to just catch SmackDown, catch a recap of Raw, you know, you don't have to stay up till 3 a.m. or whatever. Mm. And I think that's what they're going for, but at the end of the day, it's Explosion, and it's TNA, and whether it's PG or frigging 18 or whatever, the product sucks. So it doesn't matter how many shows you have.
Yeah.
I do have one question relating to this. How can you make TNA PG? Like, how can you define PG for what they're going for? Because surely that's very little difference from what they're doing now, just without the fucking monsters, balls, and tables, and all of that shit.
Well, I don't recall Explosion ever being particularly anything anyway. It was just a couple of normal matches. It's not like it was EC dub or anything. So, maybe it's just a clever press release branding technique that they think's going to get them a couple more advertisers or something. But it's on Challenge TV, for God's sake.
How many kids watch Challenge TV? I don't know. If TNA wasn't on Challenge TV, I would not even watch Challenge TV.
Yeah, how many kids watching reruns of 80s game show Bullseye? Like,
Mike, while you're an ass kissing mode, why don't you kiss Sting's ass as well?
Excuse me?
You heard me? Why don't you go in the back, man? Ask Sting to pull his pants down and plant one on him, too.
I don't think that's happening.
Here's what she could have won. No.
There is like Takeshi's Castle, which like my cousin loves, and he's like 2, so he's probably the only one.
I don't know what made them think this was the big move that they needed to make, but
it's better than the TNA network.
Oh, don't say that.
It's better than nothing. We're probably being a bit pessimistic with it, but I'm more concerned about their TV deal coming up with Spike TV than some little extra hour show in England that doesn't really change their bank balance.
Yeah, if this Spike thing falls through, they're going to have some issues.
They're going to have some bad shoes.
You can't... God's sake, Keelan. No, I mean, like, this, you can't have a national or international wrestling company and not have any fucking TV in the country that you're based in. It's not gonna work. They will be fucked. They'll be done. If they can't get another network to pick up their shitty show, and why in the love of Christ would Spike even resign? I don't know. It's not like they've got Bellator, which is actually doing alright at the minute. Why in the fuck would they want to pick them up? I don't know. And, like, if they don't get another TV deal, they are fucked. They're done.
Well, the thing with TNA has always been that they're consistently, you know, 1.0, 0.9 every single week forever. And you can rely on that. But
it's even worse now.
Yeah, exactly. There is now a slight trend down. And actually, Eric Young... Maybe I read this wrong, but he may have drawn the lowest quarter hour in history or something as the champion, which is not a good sign.
Why do you put the fucking world title on Eric fucking Young? In 5 years, he won, I don't know, no matches! Zero! And then he beats Magnus! Congratulations! What do I have to put over that guy? Fucking idiot.
Yeah, Magnus.
No one knows who the fuck he is, basically. If you ask any kind of like casual wrestling fan, no one's gonna know who the fuck Eric Young is, so why would you bother tuning in to see him?
Yeah, like, people always draw the similarities to him and Daniel Bryan because of how they look, but like, even when I watched TNA, I never saw Eric Young and thought, this guy's a really good, underrated wrestler, blah, 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 he's gonna be champion someday. I saw him as, this is a stupid comedy character who's maybe gonna be over for a little bit. And then that's it. Like, putting the world title on him just doesn't make sense when you really look at it.
And it's not like he's their final option, either. They have several other credible people they could put the title on, but they just
Austin
choose not to.
Austin Aries, where the fuck is he? Austin Aries.
He's in the doghouse.
Yeah, fuck that.
Don't put your balls on a woman's face, you prick. You know?
Unless
she says your name wrong.
Unless there's consent involved, in which case that's fine. Maybe not on national TV.
It was a popular thing when it happened.
Yeah, we're just not in the Attitude Era anymore, are we? People actually care about women and things now.
Care about wrestling. Who'd have thought?
Well, what you're talking about, Keelan, is the 1800s. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, but go back to, like, even 10 years, I think the way society was is incredibly different than it is now.
Yeah, there was none of that iPhone
bullshit. I don't think you were allowed to rub your balls in someone's face for no reason before.
How did you know?
Teabagging or something.
Like, you weren't there, man. Oh
my god. You haven't seen what I've seen.
Holy shit, that was jinx and a half. Point is, Eric Young, not the best move.
Not at all.
Give it, even if you don't want to give it to Austin Aries, give it to fucking Bobby Roode or something.
Someone credible, at least. Two people before, are going to know who they are.
Before you lose them, too.
How long has it been since we had a stable in TNA? Oh yeah, every other fucking week! Like, another stable has just debuted. Yeah, the
Ace, now you got
the fuck the clown people are, which is fucking horrible. And now, you got another main stable called... we all happen to be African Americans. Ta-da!
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I wouldn't have a problem with all the stables they have if it wasn't for the fact that they all suck.
Yeah, and they don't have a roster, so everybody's in a stable now.
Yeah, I mean, even without the roster problem, go back to, like, Immortal. They were terrible. Fortune was terrible. Aces and Eights were terrible. Menagerie's terrible. The Main Event Mafia was terrible. Dixieland is terrible. This New Nation shit's terrible. Like, not one stable is good. At least in WWE, the stables you have are good. You have the Shield. People may not like Evolution, but at some point they were popular. You have the Wyatts. You have actual stables that people actually want to see. Not the fucking group of carnies.
I mean, I like stables. Stables are good. Like, factions are good. I like them. But, yeah. Like, there was no... Like, the rest break between whatever Team Dixie was breaking up and then this fucking... It's literally a guy in a position of power, just like Dixie was, and the guy who has the position of power has people alongside him. It's the exact same fucking thing, but with MVP! The same fucking thing again! For Christ's sake! They can't even come up with anything original within their own bloody company. They're my WWE.
Yeah, like you say, they do things so fast. It's like, why are they together? Bobby Lashley was a good guy last week. Kenny King a couple months ago was just a normal X Division guy. MVP was a nice guy last week. Now they're all just together for no reason.
Their roster is depleting at such a rate that they have to. It's like, one week storylines, we can only book 1 week storylines. What?
I heard a rumor, or a speculation, maybe not even a rumor, and I think Brooks told me this.
Oh god, no, don't go there, man. Don't go there. Don't bring this shit to the table, man.
Well, because here's the thing, at least this makes more sense than their Nation of Domination, because supposedly, there is a half speculation, half rumor, half nothing, WWE might create a new Nation of Domination with people currently on the roster.
And you want to know the one thing these people on the roster have in common? Losses to Alexander Rusev.
It would be R-Truth, Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Biggie Langston. Now, as stupid as that is, and as stupid as the reason is, at least there is a reason for those people to be together.
So basically, they're like disgruntled losers / patriots against Putin.
Yeah, and it would also turn them all heel, which I think would be good for a couple of them. But
what would their stable name be? The Minority?
Fucking, I don't know, something that would fight Russians. I'm not thinking about it right now, but... the thing is, that one, at least they have something in common that causes them to come together as a team.
Oh, Darren Young is a homosexual, and apparently Putin doesn't like homosexuals, so that could be an interesting dynamic.
He could join in. But this fucking stable in TNA makes no sense. Why are they together?
Because they need to swerve everyone every fucking week for some reason.
That's just TNA's
tag team. The same number of people watch this crap every fucking week.
This is terrible, man. There's stable shit. Point is, I don't know what Spike's going to do with them. because it's just a mess.
Kill it with after fire.
They'll probably just keep after them around.
After what we've all talked about, I wouldn't be surprised if they would just drop them. I mean, who else would take them? Hypothetically, if Spike TV just let go of TNA, what would happen? Where would they go?
The CW. It's a terrible channel.
I don't think anyone... No one's going to pick them up because their show has been stagnant for like 5 years, and now in recent memory, it's now nosediving into the fucking ground. There is no way, no fucking way, that they can get on another network. Even if they bring in this talent agency to go do it, there isn't a fucking way you could spin it. There isn't a fucking miracle. There isn't nothing they can do. Just put it on a decent show, maybe, and you might stand half a chance. But they put on shit every week, so they're going to get shit all out of it.
It's hilarious because Dixie Carter, her whole education, her whole background is in public relations. Yet they have to hire a public relations firm to dig her out the hole that she put them in.
Because apparently she sucks at her job. Or she's been on TV for so long doing stupid shit that she's forgotten everything she used to know about it.
Yep, fucking brilliant. Round of applause. Good job. Fucking hell.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Best PR. Best PR.
Like, this company's so bad that, like, they do, like, TNA used to book an event at, like, a baseball field for, like, a baseball team or something. Well, I don't quite understand it. But Ring of Honor have now replaced TNA, and it's like, you are that bad that an independent, well, they're not really an independent company anymore, but a company that is third in the world has just overtaken you, basically, because so many guys from TNA have gone to Ring of Honor, like AJ Styles, now Christopher Daniels is going there, maybe Kaz as well, because there was like a video where Daniels had like an Apple TV and he's like, did you miss me, Ring of Honor? And then like a random guy comes in, but like his shirt's censored, so you can't tell who it is, but it's clearly Kaz. So it's like,
bad influence is coming to Ring of Honor.
And if you read Kaz's tweets, he's added some confirmation to the rumors that have been going around for a while now that TNA have actually been paying some wrestlers late on occasion.
So what does that say about TNA? Because they are trying so hard to compete with WWE. Meanwhile, they are losing the competition to Ring of Honor. What does that say about them?
They can't even pay the bloody production team. The production team were going to go out on strike because they weren't paid for several months. What is wrong with it? This is a business. Who's running this thing? A chimp? Like, what?
A rock.
It's not difficult.
It's Janice Carter, the Rock.
We've discussed this already.
What makes it worse?
A rock could do it better.
What makes it worse is TNA are a subsidiary or a branch or whatever of Panda Energy. They can pay their talent. They can have all this money wherever they want when they want it. They've just chosen not to. So not only do they deliver a shit product, they're just horrible people.
You know what it is? I think Dixie Carter, just every time she has to make a business decision, like, oh, do we pay Kaz this week? She just shakes a magic eight ball and it just comes up no. It's like, what?
Ask again later.
Ask again later. I guess you had to wait for your paycheck. The ball said, I have nothing I can do right now. No, it's like, you know that fucking, this is an obscure reference, but anyone who's seen Rocko's Modern, like the fucking meatball?
Yes.
The magic meatball?
Exactly, like, what you're talking about.
That's what's running TNA.
Fucking brilliant. That would explain so much and yet so little.
It's funny because John, Big John, what's his face? Kind of looks like a meatball.
Johnny Meatball, call him that, Johnny Meatball.
Brilliant. Can we stop talking about TNA?
Yeah, it's not all bad news.
You gotta find how much money you have.
How much money?
Yeah.
They have lots. They're in, like, the energy business.
It's a good business.
Okay.
People need
that. Why would you purposely fuck over your product? That doesn't make any sense. If you're running a business, it's like, do you want to put on the best product we can? Because we've got infinite resources. And Janice is just like, No, this is run shit.
The theory,
why?
The theory always has been that Panda Energy is so massive that TNA are kind of like a tax write-off that they can just flutter
That's
away every year.
So fucking sad and funny at the same time.
Jesus.
Like, I imagine Dixie walking into Janice's office every week, just like, can I get some money for the TNA budget? And she just hands her like a $20 bill. And it's like, there you go, there's your budget.
Are you saying it's basically an allowance?
Yep. TNA runs on an allowance system.
It's like a lemonade stand or something.
Yes.
TNA is the lemon stand of wrestling companies.
Dixie, you can pay the wrestlers this week as long as you clean your goddamn room.
Exactly.
No, I'm
serving up jugs of Bobby Roode.
Oh my god, this is exactly how it's run. By a meatball and an allowance system.
You too can create your own wrestling company. Just those two things. A book by Dixie Carter.
But you'll still lose to Ring of Honor. If Spike... The best thing possible would be if Spike dropped TNA and picked up Ring of Honor.
Yes.
I would actually love that.
But that's impossible.
It would mean I could watch it.
That's literally impossible because Ring of Honor is owned by a broadcasting company. So I think exclusively they'll forever be on those channels, I think.
Well,
I mean,
the business people in charge of that have to understand that, like, if you partnered with Spike and put your show on there, that's a lot more popular and successful right there.
If I don't
that's
want
possible,
Viacom,
right? Like, this business shit goes over my head, but that's possible, right?
I wouldn't want Viacom touching Ring of Honor. Like, fuck off. Like, no. You fucked up TNA. You've just put on a decent, like...
Is it Spike
event.
That really no, fucked up TNA?
I think that could be the case.
I doubt it. I don't think so. They've been on Spike for so long. For everything to fall apart now, I don't think so.
Anyway,
what's the next piece of news?
There is some slightly it's pretty positive television news in regards to wrestling, even though it's not strictly a wrestling show. But Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan, who runs a promotion out of Chicago called Resistance Pro, has signed on with none other than AMC.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal, I think. AMC's a popular network. They've greenlit 8 one-hour episodes for the coming TV year. And it's basically a reality show about Billy Corgan running his wrestling show. So writing the storylines, dealing with talent, backstage arguments, all that kind of thing. So,
slightly less hyped now.
See, I was expecting televised wrestling.
Yeah.
But it's still exposure.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
But if I don't actually get to watch the product, then it's exposure to nothing.
Could open up more doors. Maybe they'll go, hey, let's commission some actual shows or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Quite possibly.
But Jeff Jarrett's got to be a bit pissed because he's looking around for a TV deal. And there were rumors that part of the GFW venture was going to be reality based. And now here's Billy Corgan going, Sorry, guys, I'm on AMC.
Mine.
That Jeff Jarrett promotion's never going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see much of a future for that. Like,
but Mick Foley was on a webisode!
Yeah, Mick Foley's also gone fucking insane. Have you seen that new video he put out?
Enlighten us.
He's got this fucking video. Because on Twitter and Facebook, he was like, oh, I got a big announcement. And then he finally put up a video on his YouTube channel, and he's like, here's my big announcement. After many years of absence... I am finally gonna bring back the fanny pack. And he just goes, he like pans the camera down and he's just got a fanny pack on. He's like, I got all these things. I got my wallet. I got this. And then he pulls out a baby doll. He's like, I got a baby in my pack. And he starts singing to the tune of he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got a little bitty baby in my pack. And then he just keeps singing.
Is it me or has Mick Foley always been slightly creepy in that way? Slightly kind of like, he's the weird uncle that may have done things.
Well, here's the thing. The video ends with him, like, starting to talk in a Bray Wyatt voice. And then I don't remember what led up to it, but he ends up pulling out a little lantern and going, we're here. And then the video ends. Like, what the fuck, Mick Foley? You're nuts.
Yeah, I've never seen the IWC turn on somebody so quickly. Over the past couple of weeks with all his blogs and when he was getting really into the Daniel Bryan stuff and all this, the IWC have now just, like, completely disowned this guy.
Well, I don't think they've really turned on him so much as they came to the conclusion, okay, you're crazy. You just go do your thing, Mick. Like,
is it just me, or am I the only one who thinks that he's acting like on-screen character Mick Foley?
I have no doubt, but it's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's weird as shit, but it's probably just a weird, you know, publicity stunt.
Sure, but to what end?
To promote his movie about him being Santa Claus!
What the fuck is the goal? Yeah, because half the video he was talking about how he went to pick up his kid or something from school, and he was wearing Christmas clothes, and the teacher said, isn't it a bit early for Christmas? And he's like, no, you're late for the Christmas season. It's always like, Jesus, Mick.
It's Christmas time.
His oldest daughter got hot.
I haven't seen her.
Just Google
it. I'm going to look her up now.
Noelle Foley. God damn.
Noelle. That's funny.
I think it's that. I hope it is.
I'm not going to lie. I think Mick shouldn't have fallen off the top of that cell now, thinking about it. Because fucking, why, God, why?
No, you know what Mick shouldn't have done? Gone through those last few chair shots in TNA.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Let's just blame TNA for this.
Hello, Noel. Well, then. That's something.
Is that how you react?
I put Noel Foley into Google and nothing has come up.
No, what the fuck? That's because her name's Noel, not Noel.
Oh, I was spelling it as a Noel.
Sounds like the manager of a fucking DIY shop.
Okay, her bio is fucking insane. I think she might be just as crazy as Mick is.
I like your reaction to an attractive woman being like, that is something.
Well, no, because, you know, but listen to her bio. Listen to her fucking bio on Twitter. Hi, I'm Noel. I have a slight obsession with blueberry and pumpkin coffee. My old man is a legend. And I eat pizza sideways. Oh, yeah. And nipples. What?
Yeah, don't you remember that? On Beyond the Mat, one of her only lines on Beyond the Mat, she was climbing around on Mick Foley when she was like 3. And she just says, nipple. And I think that must be like a running joke now.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that makes no fucking sense, lady.
Still pretty fucking weird.
Anyway. But yeah, Mick Foley's gone fucking insane.
Who'd have thought?
He's got a lot of kids as well. Like, one of his younger kids started a YouTube show, and I'm thinking, that's the same kid that was in Beyond the Mat, but no, it's 10 years later, or even more than that. Can't be the same kid. He's got, like, 10 boys that look the same.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Some powerful sperm.
Wait, man. How? I'm surprised his body isn't completely broken.
Well, he's not the one who gave birth to them. I don't know what you're fucking talking about.
Thank you for providing me with that lovely image, Carmine. That's something that I really wanted to see every night before I go to sleep. Thank you, buddy.
Mick Foley falls off the cell and crashes through the table every night.
Suddenly babies.
Suddenly babies. Babies.
They just start
everywhere.
Shooting out.
No. Anyway. Shotgun. What else do we have to talk about?
We're up and down here in this news. We're going back to bad news. Sadly, Scott Hall is not having a great time of it. Now, there's no indication that he's relapsed in terms of his alcoholism or whatever, but he basically no-showed a pretty big convention appearance because he was, quote, in a dark place, and the Wrestling Observer notes that DDP and his son Cody were unable to get him out of bed that morning, basically due to depression, and when he went on Twitter, Hall described it as medical problems. So,
Back to square one, really?
No, I wouldn't say square one. Maybe like square five.
Three. Well, however you measure the squares of depression.
I don't know. I'd have to hear more about this to really make a judgment call on it. Yeah. But
I'm not really surprised at all, if I'm honest.
I mean, he might just be going through, like, a withdrawal stage.
Yeah, well, I wrote on the article that, like, when you suffer from depression, there's always ups and downs. And I think sometimes, you know, you can get in this really positive mood. Oh, I'm doing DDP yoga now. Oh, I'm going into the Hall of Fame. Everything's going well. And then one day you're back in your apartment. You're alone. Boredom starts kicking in. You start getting those negative thought patterns again. And you go right back down into the black hole that you started at. Hopefully, Scott Hall doesn't try and fill that hole with alcohol. But, I mean, it doesn't mean it's all over, but
yeah.
Hopefully it's just a bit of a down period.
Yeah. Oh, well. Hope he does all right.
And by all accounts, he's not actually with DDP anymore. He moved out quite early on in that whole process, and it was just Jake Roberts that stayed around in the
Is anyone still there? Like, is Roberts still there?
I think Roberts might be still there, but Hall left quite early on in that whole thing.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
And I think he's never really admitted that alcohol and things were his problem. Like, I'm not sure he's an alcoholic or as such, but I've listened to a few interviews with him and things, and I think with him it's depression, and like, alcohol might go along with that, but he's not. It's not like he's on the street corner trying to get crack or whatever, like DDP was. It's not necessarily the same kind of deal. I guess everybody's different.
Wait, but DDP was getting crack?
Yeah, what?
I meant Jake Roberts, that's the thing.
Okay.
Not
What the fuck? That's a totally different story.
He turned himself around real quick, didn't he?
You know what? I'm going to stop doing coke. I'm going to do yoga.
Bang!
Yoga intensifies.
It ain't your mama's yoga. God, it's so annoying.
Oh, anyway, do we have better news to follow that up?
Raw! Who watched Raw? There was like an English crowd and it was a bit more fun. Yay.
I didn't.
Good job, Andy.
Good job. Representing your country proud.
Who watched Raw? No. Not me! Good,
there's actually loads of people on my timeline who live around where I live who I didn't even know were wrestling fans that were like at Raw. So, oh, that's cool.
Well, they might have just gone. I mean, it's a big deal.
And it comes around like twice a year.
So, but I mean, it was an all right show. Brooks, I guess me and you are going to take this part over.
Yep. Howdy doody. Right. The show had ups and downs. Mostly downs. But excuse me. You want to say something, Andy? You want to?
Anyway, one of the first major segments was Stephanie McMahon addressing the state of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And
that was accurate. Holy shit.
That wasn't an impression of her.
She trolled everybody, and they falsely advertised Daniel Bryan as well, but carry on.
Did they say he was going to be there? Oh, maybe they might have said he was going to be there, but he wasn't. Basically, what she did was, instead of just stripping him of the title like she totally could have, she's forcing Daniel Bryan to show up next week and relinquish the belts.
Anyone else think that she's totally perfected her character at this point?
Yeah.
She knows how to rile up a crowd.
Everyone despises her, which is the goal with her character.
That's the point. She's doing her job well.
So, fuck. But the main thing is, yeah, she trolled everyone.
It was great. But not for them.
No, obviously. No. But what else happened?
The fucking Bray Wyatt, John Cena, round two bullshit.
Three.
Round three. Round fucking Seven. Three. Original content, where
well,
is it? Please.
Well, I don't have a problem with round three. It's if they go into like a round five, I start to have a problem. Round three is fine. Because Cena won at WrestleMania. Bray won at Extreme Rules in an extremely stupid fashion. They need a rubber match, and I think that's fine. But my problem with it is it's going to be a last man standing match, which means we all know exactly what's going to happen.
LOL, Cena wins.
That or Bray wins, but only because Harper and Rowan show up and just beat the shit out of Cena.
What happens if the whole story they're telling is that Cena redeems himself to the C-Nation, so loads of little children run down and pick Cena up?
No.
What?
No.
How
no.
in the love of God?
No. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You heard it first.
No, 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 please, no, God, no.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point. Oh, God.
We're dressed in Cena merchandise as well. The fucking, like,
which I sold on eBay.
Like, they should. No, it's going to be like 25 kids showing up in those robes, and then they just, like, rip the robes off and, like, they've got Cena shirts on. Terrible. It's terrible.
The only reason why they can't do that is because they can't risk children getting booed.
Didn't that already happen when they brought him out for Make-A-Wish?
No, what?
Wasn't there one time where they just, like, booed Cena or something whilst they were dying kids stage?
Oh, wow.
They're gonna cure cancer. Boo!
I thought you were talking about that Connor the Crusher. It's like, who the fuck booed Connor?
Oh, fuck no, dude. This is...
But, yeah, I just...
Hopefully this is the end of that weird storyline, and they set up an angle with Bray or Cena that just takes him away from it.
Yeah, because...
You can only have too much of a good thing. If this even is a good thing, it's not a bad thing, but it's...
It's just it's, a thing.
They're running in circles. They don't know how to continue it.
Yeah, it's a worn-out storyline. It should come to its natural close at Payback.
But here's the thing. Bray needs to win, because Extreme Rules was embarrassing.
He needs to win, but will he win?
I doubt it, but that's the problem. He's what the fuck was that? Were you gargling marbles?
That was the kid. That was the little kid at the end.
What the fuck is in your throat?
Meatballs.
Meatballs.
Head something. What happened?
No, that's the voice that the kid.
I'm pretty sure the kid didn't sound like a demonic fucking.
No, the demonic goat. There was a kid.
No, because the kid's voice. He's just like, I'm not doing it again.
Okay, the Exorcist kid that was on the pay per view.
I don't know, man. But the thing is, Extreme Rules were so stupid, and they just. But Bray needs to win, but he needs to win on his fucking own. No kids, no Harper and Rowan. Here's the thing: Harper and Rowan can run out, but immediately get chased away by like the Usos or something. Bray needs to win on his own. I don't see what the problem with that is. Like, why do they refuse to ever let Cena lose?
It wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be a problem if he was a heel, but. Like Jim Ross has been writing in his blogs, which I think's made quite a bit of sense, we don't really know if he is a heel or a face. It's that grey area that WWE are in.
He's totally a heel. He said on Raw he's evil.
Everybody loves him for that. Like Steve Austin was a heel, really.
Yeah, people have loved heels forever. This doesn't make him less of a heel. He said on Raw, I am evil. How much more clear-cut heel can you get?
That's like Hitler levels of heel.
He might as well come out and say, I'm Hitler.
That would probably be a bad move.
Yeah, but if society as a whole... If society as a whole likes Hitler, and in Germany there's a lot of people that did like Hitler, is he a heel?
Yes.
What is this, Philosophy 101?
No, but in terms of wrestling, the whole idea is you get somebody... Let's gird somebody who's bad, and you make money by putting them together. But in this case, it's like, well, I don't really get it.
Now they're just two characters.
With Cena and Bray, it makes sense because the roles are just flipped, so you can make money that way. But what happens when Bray goes up against a top face that everybody loves, and everyone's like, I'm not sure who.
Well, that's happened before when he fought Daniel Bryan. And guess what? He still won that match on his own. And people didn't care. People weren't that upset. They were upset that Bryan wasn't in the Rumble. They weren't upset that he lost to Bray Wyatt.
Because it was a good match.
Yeah. And if he has a good match with Cena, which I'm sure he's capable of.
Oh, he's definitely capable.
Because he did it at WrestleMania already. Let him do that and win!
It's just a matter if the WWE will let them put on a good match.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Because there's clear-cut restrictions in terms of Cena's in-ring ability.
Yes,
they only let him do certain things. And
Cena's proven many times against CM Punk, against Daniel Bryan, against fucking Cesaro, that he can put on a good match.
Definitely.
Let him do that with Bray, and let him lose to Bray.
I think what we're in for is not a kind of bloody extreme battle, but
no, I don't care about that.
Something not that at all. It'll be something that ends in a hokey way, like an attitude adjustment off a car or something with a camera trick, or I don't see it being like a flaming table.
A Sister Abigail onto the steel steps or something, like,
most likely. So long as it just ends and puts them in separate ways, I would be very happy.
Yeah.
Because it's with all good things, they just gotta come to an end.
Yeah.
And but you say why it needs to win, right? And yes. I can see that. But Cena kind of needs to win too, because if Cena loses and Cena's this phony guy and Bray Wyatt exposes him and then wins, where does Cena go?
Home.
To a different place, which is something we haven't seen in 10 fucking years!
He goes to a darker place, and he gets desperate, and he fights other people.
No. Cena's version of going to a darker place is coming out with a black t-shirt.
Sure, I don't care. Just let him do something different.
Fucking different.
He needs to lose so he can progress as a character.
For the love of all that is good.
This is still a TV show with scripts and characters, and this character needs to develop. Bray needs to develop in the sense that he wins and moves on. Cena needs to develop in the sense that he loses and becomes desperate.
Cena needs to move on and stop dressing like an 8-year-old boy.
Yes! And losing to a man who calls himself the devil and fucking brainwashes children is the perfect thing to make him do that.
Bada boom.
Realest guy in the room.
What the fuck else happened on Raw, Carmine?
I don't know. Adam Rose segment.
Oh my god. This man is a cheeseburger. We're going to take him to the doctors.
He's got sesame seeds on his buns. We're going to take him to the doctor. Was that a joke? I don't know. And then Zed Coulter came.
This gimmick is horrible.
No, here's the thing, though.
His promo.
It has elements that are good and elements that are fucking cornball. Terrible. Like, he's crossing the line into being, and I'm not homophobic or nothing, I'll fuck this up already, but let's rephrase that. He's being too camp, saying things like, he said some, what did he say, like grumpy pants or something. No, that's too far. Just be the cool guy that's slightly camp. But
here's the thing about this segment that I think redeemed some of that. After he had his little interview with Renee Young, Zack Swagger and Zeb Coulter came out, and Zeb Coulter wanted to pick a fight with Adam Rose, but it was kind of a setup because then Swagger jumped him. After he jumped him and knocked him down, he starts getting in the face of all the party people, and then Adam Rose jumps back up and starts beating the shit out of him, and you can see on his face, he's like super pissed. Then he grabs the microphone and he's like, Renee, sometimes you gotta fight, but it's party time all the time and all that shit. And it shows that there is an aggressive side to Adam Rose. So while he can be calling people grumpy pants and talking about sesame seeds on your buns, he can also beat the shit out of you, which I think is a good dynamic.
It's very beneficial, because if you have a guy who has a comedic in-ring character... You fucking
This is
prick.
Very professional.
We can edit.
But anyway, should I make my point or what?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll just make it so the phone call never happened. Carry on.
All right, great.
What phone call?
Anyway, point being, if you have a comedy character like Adam Rose but has good in-ring capabilities that puts him over, then no harm, no foul in being a little camp, I say.
I'm glad that he got to do this in front of the UK crowd, because the UK crowd are always into everything, and in a way it kind of coaches the American crowd, who've seen it on television now, what the fuck to do when Adam Rose comes out.
Yeah, be like us, the dominant race.
Because the whole show, that crowd was great.
It happens every time you come to our country. We're great like that.
Well, because, yeah, it's such a like special occasion over there, because you're right, it only comes twice a year, that the people who get to go are so pumped that they just fucking rock the house.
Yeah, it's great.
And you're right, they showed exactly what to do during an Adam Rose segment, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because the Raw after WrestleMania crowd will show you how to Fandango, but no one else will follow up on it.
Nope.
This was just a normal Raw, and people will catch on that, like, oh, this is something we can do. Like, yeah, go do that. Because that also saved the segment.
The weird thing about the segment is that what it's setting up, because during the segment you had Zeb Coulter want to get the party people and Jack out of the ring to have a fight with Rose himself. Now, my problem with this is that it's going to set up a match at Payback between Zeb Coulter and Adam Rose, not Jack Swagger and Adam Rose.
I feel like it's they're going to want to do that, but at the same time, they won't.
I really hope they don't, because Jack Swagger, say what you will, he's a solid in-ring guy when he's not giving people concussions.
Yes, just don't let
I'd
him
like to see. Yeah, I'd like to see them two square off at least once.
I'd like to see Zeb and the Bunny get into it a bit.
Yeah, that'll probably be the extent of Zeb's physical activity.
Put that on the pre-show.
But
a Bunny LC match.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But the segment was all right. Adam Rose needs some slightly more intelligent things to say. Because I guess I wasn't very specific when I said he needs other things to say than just his catchphrase.
He needs fine-tuning and just getting into his character as a person as opposed to a catchphrase.
Yeah. I'm starting to worry that he wasn't on NXT long enough as Adam Rose.
Maybe.
He was called up a bit too early.
But I think having a feud against this...
Lemon.
Thank you, Andy.
Hi,
you.
Andy.
I think having your first feud be against the super serious Real Americans would be beneficial to fine-tuning his promo work.
There is that.
I think Zeb, though, as good as he is on the mic, he could also be saying a few more controversial things towards him. A few more, you know, drawing a bit more heat than just like, get away from me kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it is at the same time kind of funny. Like
you gotta be careful, like, how you tiptoe around these kind of things, because it could be, I don't know, is the thing that Adam Rose is foreign or that he's camp? I don't understand what the beef is.
I think it's a little bit of both.
It's that he's foreign, it's that he's camp, it's that he's got long hair, it's that he likes to party, he's just somebody that's not something a stuffy, conservative, old-fashioned dude is gonna... It's like, cut your hair and go to work.
Why don't they just call him a hippie or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's CJ Parker. There's literally a character on NXT that already does
that. I hate that. It's too formulaic.
Yeah, the whole fucking flower power thing. It's at least 50 years old.
He's a moon child or some shit.
I mean, it could be modern. This sort of thing is actually kind of current, but not in that way.
He's not really a hippie as more as he is, like, a party guy.
Adam Rose, yeah.
Yeah, he's not like the type of, like, John Lennon sit in a bed with Yoko for, like, 5 days kind of guy. He's the guy who goes out.
He's Russell Brand. He's a poser in that sense. He's drawn elements from it, but he's really just an arrogant dick.
Yeah, he just goes out and he does shit.
They have...
Hippies don't do shit.
Yeah. With Adam Rose, they have something they can really work with and make something really memorable out of.
It's just a question of if they will.
Which is always the major question about Raw.
And something I wanted to bring up about Raw that I don't know whether you guys were going to touch on is Alicia Fox.
Yes.
Yep, I was just going to bring that up because holy shit.
She's her crazy. Her character is that she's crazy.
She is the new AJ.
But it's not even that she's crazy. It's just she's starting to actually do something. Like, a lot of the time, wrestlers just...
She has a personality!
Yes, exactly. Wrestlers just get into the ring, and they have a match, and, like, Kofi Kingston just does my head in. He comes out, no matter what the situation, smiles, bops his hands, gets in the ring, has a match, no matter what the situation. When it's over, he smiles and bops his hands. Like, no, you have to be a real person. If you're a good guy, then act like a good guy, but in a real way, not in a, I'm going to bop my hands 5 seconds after I've exited. Like, it's stupid. But Alicia Fox is now just this disgruntled person. And it makes sense because it's real. When you're in a fight, you're going to be trash talking if you lose and all this kind of thing.
Her character is basically that she's bipolar.
Yeah, and because we've totally never seen that before in the Divas division.
Yeah.
That's one problem that I have. The women in WWE can only be one of three character archetypes.
Yes.
You have the Mickie James character, who is the plucky, you know, babyface. you have the dominant heel, like Karma or Tamina, and then you have the slightly wacky, dangerous one that's AJ and now Alicia Fox.
And then every once in a while you get a rare fourth, which is the good one, the good Paige. Diva, like Paige or Lita or something.
What's yeah, the, what's Natalia then? Because she's just...
She pisses herself.
She pisses herself, she farts on camera. What the fuck do you... Oh, no. Don't mention her name.
She rubs Icy Hot into her ass. That was on Total
Divas. Icy Hot Cookie.
It's like I don't even know if she's a face or a heel, really. Because on Total Divas, she's just a weirdo. And on WWE, she just kind of... She doesn't even come across as a good wrestler anymore. Like, she just completely lost all of her redeeming factors.
Time for the first ever double sharpshooter, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, really. But my main problem with Alicia Fox vs. Paige this week was that Alicia won, but it wasn't about that she won, it was the way she won. Because last week she got beat, and this week she kicked out of a Paige turner, kicked Paige in the face, not even a finisher, and then pinned her.
Just a straight up kick in the face, 1, 2, 3, boom, stealing the crown!
Yeah, she probably should have cheated to win, like...
Well, not so much she should have cheated to win, but there shouldn't have been a page turner for her to kick out of, and she should have done a finisher.
This is sometimes the thing, though, with WWE. Because they're in England, it's like, no, you can't win, because you're English, and we're gonna teach you a lesson. So, no, you're not winning in your hometown, huh? It's just this weird mentality they have sometimes.
Yeah.
But then you have the British wrestlers that are insanely over, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
Yeah.
But even, with Bad News Barrett, like, he was over, everybody loved him, he's kind of a face now because of the way that, even in the US, the crowds are behind him, yet Stephanie McMahon had to use his catchphrase and play his videos. Don't associate him with Stephanie McMahon. Why do that?
It's to get GP. Heat on the authority.
Stupid GP, nothing more.
But the thing is, like... I just don't like the way she won. And Brooks has told me before it's a matter of, well, now she's a threat. Fair, but they did it wrong. I would have preferred if, like, 3 weeks ago, Alicia Fox beat Oksana. And then, you know, 2 weeks ago, she beat Abella. And then last week, she beat fucking Natalia. And then this week, she beats Paige with a finisher. Like, that would have been making her a threat, not
maybe
fucking...
build her up a bit and not just, you know, suddenly come out.
Like, she got beat. She got beat bad last week by Paige, and now she fucking dominated her?
Yeah, WWE does this all the time. Someone will become the IC champion, and then somebody will beat the IC champion to set up a match against the IC champion. It's like, well, now you've just made everyone look like shit, so...
Yeah. Yep,
good job. Drop the ball on that one again.
Like, I have no problem with beating a champion to become number one contender. That's fine. But this one seemed so stupid that I can't get behind it.
Hope it at least to something better next week.
Yeah, and that Paige retains the title in the title match.
Jesus Christ, please.
But also, the other stupid thing that happened was the Beat the Clock Challenge to determine the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, I hate these.
Good lord.
It's like first match. All of a sudden, matches go different lengths than they usually do because now it's a Beat the Clock Challenge. Like, oh, for God's sake.
The first match to set the time was Big E versus Ryback, and Big E won. Whatever. Then Rob Van Dam beat Alberto Del Rio in less time, so now he's in the lead. And then in the stupidest mismatch I've ever seen, Dolph Ziggler versus Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler systematically picked apart the world's strongest man and almost beat him after reversing a world's strongest slam and hitting a zigzag, but ran out of time.
This is cemented, like, in my mind, that Dolph Ziggler is officially fucked.
I had such an issue with this. If you're going to go through the fucking trouble of having Dolph Ziggler pick apart the world's strongest man on your roster and have him almost beat him in time, why not just have him beat him in time?
Because it makes you angry.
It really is. It seems like they're just trying to piss me off.
Why wouldn't they? You're entertaining when you're angry. But the point is, well, you are. Deal with it.
I'm sure with beat the clock challenges, though, in the past, they've just carried on with the match until it ends, even though they've not beat the clock, the match still happens.
Yeah, they didn't even let him pin him. It was so stupid.
And that just makes the whole thing fucking pointless, because no matter how good the match was, he's still not good enough.
It's so terrible. And now the worst part about it is, instead of seeing the potentially amazing match between Barrett and Ziggler, we're going to see Barrett versus RVD.
I feel like we saw that already.
I think we did.
We totally did. Not sure when, but it's definitely happened before.
And you could tell, like, as soon as the timer buzzed and Ziggler didn't beat the clock, the crowd just kind of stopped caring because they realized, oh, now it's Barrett versus Rob Van Dam. Like, they were getting so hyped towards the end of that match, especially when he hit the fucking zigzag. And it's like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And then it, in 2 seconds, became the worst thing ever.
What do we think of Barrett coming out and attacking RVD and RVD looking like a complete chump?
I'm fine with it. I hope he totally kicks fine. The shit out of RVD.
If RVD wins, then fucking why? Why would RVD win? The only reason I can think of that they've done this is to put over Barrett by having him win over a veteran.
Yeah, is that... Do we see that as RVD's role now, that he just puts over the young guys and doesn't really do much?
What else is he going to do?
That should be good.
They're not going to trust him with a world heavyweight title, so what else could they do?
He literally has no other option. He could maybe pair up with Adam Rose and become a tag team of stoners.
But PGTV.
That's what all the part-timers should do. They should just put over the younger guys, not, you know, win world titles and shit.
Yeah.
Or beat the streak.
We're not going there. Well, but there was one last major segment on Raw, and it wasn't the main event, so I don't know why we saved it for last, but it was Evolution versus The Shield, kind of.
This one was different.
This is very different, Andy.
This was
the most different thing you could
think haven't of. Seen it, but...
Yeah, this was Seth Rollins going one-on-one with Batista. And Triple H made a point of saying only official staff members are allowed at ringside. No Shield, no Evolution. So, Seth Rollins comes out to the ring, Triple H's music starts playing. Introducing your special guest ring announcer, Triple H, and the special guest timekeeper, Randy Orton.
The fucking timekeeper.
Then Batista.
It's like the Stooges all over again.
Then Batista came out. But then, right before the bell rings, Seth Rollins grabs a microphone and says, "All right, I see what you're doing. Allow me to introduce the two special guest commentators, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns."
Get hype.
That was cool. I thought that was a good idea.
Because those two are good on... Well, those two, Dean Ambrose. Great with a microphone, great on commentary.
Yeah, Reigns said maybe 3 words during the whole thing, but...
You alright? Can you see him?
Yeah, that was about all he said.
Yeah, he's gonna be fine.
He's gonna be fine. But it was... I thought it was a good idea. Now, of course, the match ended in a fucking brawl. But the Shield came out on top. The thing I'm worried about is that their match at Payback is going to be an elimination, no-holds-barred match.
How does that work?
It doesn't...
If there's no-holds-barred, then you just don't leave, do you?
They're just creating...
Oh,
like,
God, I never thought of that!
They're just creating weird stipulations to make it sound different, but really, it's fuck-all different.
Well, technically, the Extreme Rules match wasn't even an Extreme Rules match, but it just went that way anyway.
Spots that were... Extreme, apparently.
Yeah. Here's what I want. In a perfect world, here's what I want to happen at Payback.
Hang on. Is Andy still breathing? Can we just clarify?
Andy, are you dead?
I'm here, hello.
Hello.
Okay. Great. Now we can move on. No, yeah. Here's in a perfect world, here's what I'd like to see happen at Payback. Because Batista's supposed to be leaving after this pay-per-view. I thought he was supposed to be leaving after Extreme Rules, but I guess now it's become he's leaving after Payback. Assuming that is the case... In a perfect scenario, I would like to see not a single member of the Shield get eliminated. They eliminate Orton, they eliminate Triple H, and then they beat the fucking shit out of Batista for like 10 minutes.
Yes.
Write him out.
Or even get better, even better, they need to break the news in some way that Batista is leaving, and then he can get their na-na-na-na. Thing.
Nah. He has to go hang out with Vin Treasel.
Yes. But I'm talking like hit him with chairs, hit him with steel steps, hit him with fucking everything.
Hit him with things.
Triple power
hit bomb him with people.
If they have three announce tables at this pay-per-view, triple power bomb him through every single one. Just fucking write him out.
Basically cripple him.
And just take him out, and so that the Shield can move on to do something better than fight Evolution.
And at the same time, be put over, end Evolution, and make everything right with the world.
Just fucking dominate them, like they did at WrestleMania against the Outlaws and Kane. Who, by the way, the Outlaws have not been on TV since.
For good reason.
That's dominance. Do that again to Batista. That's what I'd
and
like to see.
It'll put them over even more because everyone hates Batista. I don't know a single guy who actually likes Batista.
You do realize, though, that this is carrying on until at least SummerSlam.
Well, no, they can have a feud between Triple H and Roman Reigns that can carry on to SummerSlam, but not Evolution. If Batista's leaving, he has to be written out.
And he's got to leave eventually because the fucking movie is happening.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
So write him out the right way.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I'd like to see happen. And that was Raw, basically. The main event was Luke Harper versus John Cena, and then Bray Wyatt beat the shit out of both the Usos. And then they beat the shit out of Cena, and Luke Harper counted to 10 while Bray Wyatt sang, which basically means Cena's going to win at the pay-per-view.
Bada boom.
No.
But...
And guess who's debuting on SmackDown?
Yeah, guess who's debuting on SmackDown?
SmackDown.
You just
people.
Have to
believe.
Oh, I keep thinking about this. I know I mentioned it last week that Michael Cole needs to kind of be all over this. Make Michael Cole like his manager or something.
No, don't do that. I'd like just his little the enthusiastic commentator.
I'd like his little
or,
Michael Cole as
or if he brings out like a. I guess the whole idea is like a motivational speaker slash, I don't know, whatever. Michael Cole should be like one of his disciples and be like, hey guys, yeah, it really works. I've turned my life around. Everything's great.
No.
Turned his life around from
Michael
what?
Michael Cole, right now, he's been at his best. He hasn't been heel Michael Cole. He hasn't been annoying.
Yeah, but Michael Cole at his best is still fucking terrible.
Yeah.
None of the commentators are good.
Yeah, I've said this before. The fucking commentary team. I mean, I swear to Christ. The only thing that they ever talk about is social media and dumb jokes that happen between themselves. Not what actually happens in the match. And it's like, I really don't care about what Jerry Lawler or Michael Cole tweeted last night. Michael, what I care about is who gives the drop kicks!
Michael! It's
terrible. Michael!
I think Andy got dropped.
On his head! When he was 3.
I meant from the Skype call, but maybe. yeah, Raw was...
Raw was a Raw. It was average.
It was okay. It could have been worse, could have been better. I might actually watch SmackDown to see Bo Dallas.
I'm definitely watching SmackDown. Just that one segment.
Yeah, true.
Then you'll get to see the match spike.
That would send a nice message, like, we want Bo Dallas on Raw, please.
Now, yes. I know this isn't going to happen tomorrow and probably will never happen, but Bray Wyatt is a creepy cult leader, right? And his real-life brother is Bo Dallas, and Bo Dallas is debuting as a creepy motivational speaker. At some point, do you think their paths could cross?
I wouldn't want to see that.
I wouldn't
because either. it's not the same kind of creepy. Bray Wyatt is creepy in the sense that fucking deliverance level of creepy.
Yeah,
Bo Dallas is like Jim Cunning.
But if Bray Wyatt is perhaps disingenuous in what he's doing, which a lot of cult leaders actually are, maybe Bo Dallas is just another branch of his. Scheme, I don't know, to draw people in.
I would rather see them fight each other than join forces. And never, ever say that they're brothers.
Nope.
It'll happen. It'll happen at some point.
Like, have Bray Wyatt show up on Raw one day and start talking about how he rules the world or some shit like Psycho Sid. And then Bo Dallas shows up and he's like, no, people, you just gotta bully, or some shit.
Actually, that could work as... Bray Wyatt is
You're
a face
something
guy.
Here, boy.
as a face. And yes, and Bo Dallas trying to lead people away from the evil because he's all positive and
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, bada boom, we figured it out.
Just have them fight each other and never, ever say that they're related because they have
Don't put them in the fucking family.
They have fucking different last names.
Dallas Wyatt.
It just Dallas Wyatt.
Bo, leave.
Well, the worst thing they can say is, like, their dad is IRS. Like, what? So, they grew up with an investment banker father who churned out a motivational speaker and a cult leader.
Right. That's the fucking funniest thing. The evils of business.
Yeah, maybe it's all part of a big Wall Street cabal. And IRS...
They're going to try and buy out WWE now that the stock price has plummeted. Oh, my God.
Real life storylines.
And then fucking, I don't know, I lost it.
We've all lost it.
It's like that Al Pacino movie. What the fuck is that? Devil's Advocate.
Scarface.
It's like Scarface with all the cocaine. Bray Wyatt's just on all the cocaine.
Close enough.
And Bo Dallas got meth from Walter White. We gotta cook.
That's just giving me a great.
Why does it always go back to meth? With us? It always goes back to meth. I swear to Christ.
You've given me a great article idea. What would the current crop of WWE characters be in the Attitude Era? You know, Adam Rose would be there with like a pile of cocaine.
He would be the Godfather.
Yep. Actually,
Bray Wyatt would definitely be Undertaker.
Bray Wyatt would be fucking like so much worse than he is now. But I don't mean worse like he would be bad. Like, I mean worse like he would do so much darker shit.
He would kill people.
There would be murders.
There would be murders.
It'd be.
And he just drags the corpses out and he's like, catching fly. In his mouth.
Like one day he just gets wheeled out like fucking Hannibal Lecter with the face mask on.
Shit, yeah.
But,
you're stealing Sabu's gimmick circa 94.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
That's anyway. The end of that chapter.
Yep, that was about it for Raw.
Brilliant.
Well, we have no more news.
I feel completely enlightened.
What?
I feel completely enlightened by that. I don't have to watch Raw now.
Good, that's the idea.
And would this be a good opportunity to plug a little something something?
Plug away. Well. Get the plug machine out and plug.
Did you? You alright, Keelan?
Machine.
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds plug weirdly machine, plug sexual, it. Keelan.
Plug the machine, the plugs.
I guess that would just be a plug in a socket, wouldn't it? Plug machine.
plug it in. Anyway.
Giant plug.
Did you enjoy listening to fucking... Can I speak?
Daddy, please, don't hit me again.
What the hell did I... What? Listening to fucking...
It's okay,
Andy. Skype call drop. What the fuck happened in those 10 seconds?
No, I keep Carmine trying to start dad. This sentence and everyone keeps jumping in.
Hey, Carmine.
What?
Carmine.
You know what? You plug it, Brooks. I don't give a shit.
Okay. Hey, guys. 24 inch 5-1.
I think we should let Andy do his Steve Austin impression to plug.
Please do.
By God, I bring you two audio cans of whoop ass.
Actually, it'd help if Andy knew. It'd help if you knew what we were plugging, actually, wouldn't it?
Oh, fuck it.
Me and Brooks are going to be starting a new show where we review Raw every week.
Woo!
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I will be here with the crazy angry man, and we will be summarizing Raw in about half an hour every week. Yay. Hope you enjoy.
Yes, they'll probably come out every Wednesday or so.
So now you can listen to the Raw pre-show, you can watch 3 hours of Raw, you can listen to the Raw post-show, and then you can tune in to the Supla Raw reaction thingy.
Review.
Or just listen to our show.
Yeah, the whole point of our show is so you don't even have to watch Raw.
5 hours? Fuck that. 30 minutes.
In and out. Simple.
All you need. In and out, what?
Listen.
Come on, don't go there.
In and out and 30... Oh, fuck it.
That's not what I went to.
Just in and out, though, is it? I think that's a pretty good session.
Yeah, anyway.
Session. out. Jesus
what
Christ.
What in the fuck happened? Happened
if the show is 5 minutes long, the show is 5 minutes long, then you have a point. But
well, you can't sum up 3 hours in 5 minutes. Any point is. We got a new show coming.
Fucking show, you useless cretin. Oh my god.
I've been trying, man. Everyone keeps interrupting me, man.
Excuses, man.
They've been lying to you, man.
God damn it. Every Wednesday is going to be a Raw Review featuring me and Brooks. That's the plug. Starting next week.
Don't be 11.
Thanks,
Andy. Hashtag content.
Don't watch Raw. Listen to the review.
Andy's got two catchphrases. Deal with it and don't be a lemon. That's just it.
Not exactly.
Not even the rest of the catchphrase. It's just don't be a lemon.
I think because Andy's not contributed much on tonight's show, he should close the show out with the outro. So take it away, Andy.
So, wow, what was that? So, what the fuck happened to my voice?
All the TV
I've ever been through my life, I went back in time and then went through it again in half a second. What the fuck happened there? Jesus.
I just love the fucking two seconds.
This is why I haven't been speaking that much in this episode, because my voice is fucked.
Oh my god.
Alcohol, ladies and gentlemen.
I just love the fucking, there was like a 2 second pause and it's just, so?
It's like reading out a school play.
Oh, I'm having a good day today.
It was the best of times.
Fucking day. Anyway, moving on. I have been Andy Quad.
I'm accidentally losing my shit.
Someone else! Talk!
It again. God. Try again, Andy.
Fine. You have been listening to the pundit. God, fuck it. Done.
This has been a Wrestling Pundit podcast. I've been your host, Keelan Polderson. We've had Sam Brooks, Carmine, and Tonelli, and we will catch you next week for Live Supla.
Ching ching. Ching ching. Ching ching. Ching ching.